This has been a beautiful day in the Lord. We appreciate the kindness of the Albrights to have us at their place. And we know that wherever we go, we just find that wonderful fellowship with God's people. And that's very special. And we thank them for all of their hospitality to us. And once again, you're an amazing congregation because you're God's people. God's people are amazing. What God, grace can do through God's people, it's always amazing. And we sing that hymn and love that hymn, Amazing Grace, but we are testimonies tonight of that amazing grace. And amazing grace makes amazing people. So we appreciate the way you have honored us by having us for this day and with Brother Ziegler's invitation. I told him that. Thank you for honoring us. Because it is. We never want to take it for granted. And we approach these times with a lot of the old saying, fear and trepidation. Huh? but it's a very solemn responsibility. But I'm so thankful for you being here tonight. And I'm thankful that God has, as always, is trying to help us to come into more of his image and to be more like him. He really cares about us. He really does. He cares about each one of you personally. He's invested his life's blood in you. He believed that through the blood of his own son, he would be able to have a new creature. He would be able to have a new creation. He would have those in heaven who would honor and glorify him. Isn't that wonderful? What an investment tonight. And we're going to look at that some more this evening. And you'll remember that we talked about the cups, the cup of, let's see, this was what? The cup of compassion, wasn't it? And then we had another cup here. And that was the cup of contentment, because some of those disciples, they really didn't understand the cross. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying about going to Calvary. So Aunt Salome came along, and she decided there might be some positions for her sons, a little bit presumptuously. And yet with an honest heart, really. And how often do we just miss the mark, right? We just don't understand what God's trying to show us. So we can't be too hard on her, because we must understand that we're this human frame. And then the cup of cleansing. And Jesus had some very stern words for the hypocrites, the scribes, the Pharisees. And so that's kind of where we closed this morning. And as I told my wife, I got into some areas I never had thought I would. Sometimes we take, there's a term called literary freedom. I guess I took preaching freedom. But I don't feel I was astray, because we are living in a very hurting world. And a world in which, no doubt, there's some family here that's been touched by abuse. And there's certainly no individual, nor no one has called us, nor no one has been in communications with us about some situation, but we just know we're living in a hurting world. We just know that people are going through some very difficult valleys, and some are facing things now in their middle age and on up that they never realized. Where did that come from? Why am I feeling the way? Why am I shaking within because of some memory or some situation, and it's just been buried for years? It's amazing how the subconscious can just hold memories. I mean, it's incredible. It's just a whole new field of study. But through it all, as they sang, right, we must remember that the blood of Jesus Christ is ever efficacious. The blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses. The blood of Jesus Christ is what keeps us. The blood of Jesus Christ is the very essence of the church, because we are the New Testament church. And if we have fellowship one with another, St. John says the blood of Jesus cleanses us, doesn't it? The blessing of fellowship is because the blessing of Jesus having fellowship with us personally. So we come right back to relationship. Now let's enter in tonight to that fourth cup, and we find it as we move from the upper room, and Jesus is going into the garden, picking up our reading in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew 26:27, the Word of God tells us He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, His disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Okay, they're still in the upper room, I apologize. We haven't moved from that, but we want to look at this very, very important portion before we go to Gethsemane. And along with this, the parallel passage is Luke 22:17, where He says, "He took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves.'" And then in verse 22, where He says, or verse 19, "He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is My body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me.' And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you.'" Now, you may have read or you may have heard that as the Jewish people celebrate, still do, their Paschal Supper, their Passover, there's actually four cups. And the father will take that, the one who is over the extended family, he'll take the first cup. And in that cup, he will begin the meal with what is called the kos habaraka, or the cup of blessing. And then as the meal unfolds, and there is the time of bringing in the bitters and the unleavened items and so forth, and as they progress through this meal, there's actually four cups that is offered. And they will just take the cup, a large cup. It may not sound too sanitary to us, but they'll have their cup and they will pass that grape juice around. And all will taste it. So when Jesus started the meal, He started the meal just like they would have any other meal. In fact, they probably then celebrated the entire Passover meal. Many feel that they did. And then, at the end, He offered another extension of the meal. It was very surprising to them. They weren't expecting this. They weren't expecting what Jesus said, "Take this bread." He blessed it and broke it and gave it to His disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is My body." And then in Matthew, He says He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." So this was probably the fourth cup. This was probably the last cup. But He put an incredible significance on that last cup, because as I said this morning, God has really called us all to be royal cupbearers. And He has called us all to share this great cup, which is the cup of the New Testament, of His blood that was shed. So that indeed is the central truth of what I've shared this morning and now tonight. Jesus gave us this imagery, but it was an application from what the Jews knew as they grew up. What God gave to Moses, now was carrying through several thousand years later, approximately 1,600 years later. And what God told Moses was instituted there on Mount Sinai, and even before, of course, as they went out of Egypt. That was where the real Passover was. And then God solidified there on Sinai the giving of the law. But this was fulfilled all in the types of Jesus Christ. He was the Passover, as Paul says. He is our Passover. And we get to bear that cup every day. What a privilege. What an honor. We get to bear that cup in the very true sense because we believe that His precious blood is our only plea. It's our pathway to heaven. And it's what gives us that power to share this glorious gospel with others. This is the cup of commitment. This is the cup of communion. And again, Dr. Clark sheds light on this by saying that this second taking of the cup is to be understood as belonging, or this final, as it were, in the whole process, which is now He is instituting, on which He lays a very remarkable stress. Drink ye all of this. Now, I don't know whether it went around just once, and everyone might make sure that everybody had some, or it went around several times, but what He meant was that you are to be fully committed to what I'm going to institute. You are going to be part of this new ecclesia, this new church, this new koinonia, which was a new fellowship. It was all through His death. It was all through His precious blood. And then, of course, His resurrection. But He was trying to help them to see the same relationship that they had with Him was only going to get better because He would give them the Holy Spirit. Whatever we go through, never, ever, ever lose sight that there's power in the blood. Never, ever, no matter how dark, no matter how much depression, if there's things that I touched on this morning about abuse, and you may be a victim of abuse tonight, never forget that there's hope through the blood of Jesus Christ. And also in parentheses, never ever feel like you, as the victim, are somehow obligated to try to change the perpetrator, to try to amend. Find a safe place. Find a safe fellowship. A friend. Find a safe place. Find a safe person. And let the healing begin. If you continue in that situation, it'll only get worse. But Jesus said to His disciples, first of all, I give you now a cup. And that cup must be a cup of commitment. This was the cup of communion. And we're going to bring out another cup here, and this is going to represent that cup of communion. I have another cup that would probably be a little more emblematic of the communion, but we'll use this cup as that cup of communion. He shared that with all of them. But remember His words, drink all of it. Drink all of it. Fully embrace this. Take it in. Now take, eat of My body. You're recognizing that My body is going to be broken for you. You recognize that I was in the flesh. You recognize that I came as a human being, as the Son of Man. But I'm also the Son of God. And I give you My life's blood, represented by this cup. This cup. I remember a minister when I was a boy. He had gone over to Israel. It was a young Methodist minister, and he brought back some white grape juice, and he said it wasn't intoxicating liquor, This was as close that I could find to what Jesus used in the Last Supper. I thought that was really interesting. And we used a cup. We sat around a table. Just like Lord, it was very interesting how he did that. But Jesus is saying tonight, take this cup. Be my cupbearer. Drink all of it. Drink all of it. For this is the cup of communion. This is the cup of fellowship. We call it communion, don't we? Taking the cup. Some churches call it taking the cup. Call it the Eucharist. They take the Last Supper. They call it many different things. But it shows that deep commitment that Jesus wanted his disciples to have. And then he moved from that cup that was given and the bread that was broken. He moved to the garden. And some feel that there's almost a parallel as he moved to the garden. Because you'll notice now in the fifth cup, the cup of crisis, this was a cup of his verbally sharing, his in his frailty as a human being, and the disciples, he was trying that the disciples would understand how frail he really was. He had a choice to make, friends. If Jesus had not volitionally, willfully taken that step in the garden, we would not have salvation. He could have given them the cup all day long. But if he had not carried through, if he had not truly then embraced what it meant for him to take the cup that the Father had for him, then it would all have been just empty words. Totally empty words. He now himself was going to have to drink all of it. Matthew 26:39. He had told them that he was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here, tarry ye here, watch with me. Matthew 26:38. Now 39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. This was a cup that only Jesus could take this cup. And yet he is asking us to share that cup as well. But that cup that he took was that cup that meant that he fully accepted the price it was going to take in order for him to carry out what he had already done in the years before. It came down to this moment of crisis. The Greek word crisis is where we get the word judgment in English. There was an awful judgment going on. And a judging now of whether I should or whether I shouldn't. We can get in a long theological debate whether that Jesus had, you know, he could have said no. Of course he could have said no. He was the Son of Man. And he gave us that example whereby we can say yes. The cup of communion is the cup of embracing brokenness. Notice what Jesus was facing. Just a few things here. He knew what was in that cup. It wasn't a pleasant cup, was it? No, he was meaning by the contents. I have a cup to drink. Now, ancients were famous about, there was one of the old Greek philosophers. He got on the wrong side of the city committee or whatever, and they said, okay, we've had enough of you and enough of your sayings. Now you're going to have to, I think it was, he had to drink the cup of the hemlock. And he said to a friend of his, I gladly take this cup, basically because I know I've told him the truth. He didn't throw it out. He didn't seek another way. He drank it. You have to wonder how much of that came through from influence from the Jewish Passover and so forth. But anyway, Jesus knew ahead that within that cup was the cup of betrayal. Cup of betrayal. Judas was going to betray him, one of his own. Now we're going to go a little deeper here. If you know of anyone, why I keep coming back to this, I'm not sure, but I'm going to be faithful to the Word. If you know of anyone, you have anyone in your family, or you yourself are involved in this matter of abuse, it goes very deep because it always seems to follow this pattern. There's betrayal. You've been told one thing that's supposed to be this and this and this, and it came out and just ever utterly devastating. You were promised this, this, and this, and then it just was horribly devastating. And of course, I'm talking a lot about sexual abuse, but there's many other kinds of abuse. And Jesus was already, he was already that night knowing that the leaders hated him and they had been looking for a way, they had been conspiring to take his life, and they were seeking a way for someone to betray him. And when someone has been victimized, there is within that cup that awful betrayal. It's terrible. There's a cup of abandonment. And when I talk about other abuses, people can be used by others and they're just kind of thrown off into the, well, you know, the old term, thrown in the trash heap. You might feel like you're part of something very special, part of some ministry, part of some kind of fellowship, part of some company. You're part of something and you feel like you're wanted and you feel like you're needed and you feel like you've given a lot into that. And all of a sudden things just turn around. And it's like, what happened? Why was the rug jerked out from underneath us? And you realize, and my wife and I have been through this, unfortunately, a couple times, and you realize there's been betrayal. And through it all, look to the blood. Look to the blood. Because if we don't look to the blood, bitterness will just sweep you off your feet. Bitterness will come in and destroy you. So look to the blood. Always look to the blood. But we cannot just deny the fact that somebody is betrayed. Jesus did not deny the fact that Judas betrayed him. That was very real. That betrayal was very real. Jesus did not deny the fact that his disciples abandoned him. That abandonment, that loneliness, he was a human being. To be alone, even there, even before they abandoned him, it just didn't seem like they could enter into that. To the groaning. They couldn't enter into that intercession. They couldn't keep their eyes open. They couldn't keep spiritually alert and focused on what was going on. They didn't really recognize what that cup was. They were clueless, we would say. In that cup was a cup of abandonment. In that cup, of course, we know that there was the suffering. There was just plain and simple physical abuse to Jesus. The devil just pouring out all the slapping and all of the stripping of his clothes and all of the stripes on his back and all the spitting on him and just the physical abuse. He knew that was ahead of him. That's why He's our Savior, friend. He knows what it is. He knows He knows the darkness that just comes over your soul when high church leaders can betray and abandon and begin to abuse you. In this day, yes, people are going through that. You've read books about it. I've read a book. It's sad. But that hasn't kept me from being a Christian. That hasn't kept me from endeavoring by the grace of God to keep the joy of the Lord in my heart. Because His truth is the truth. And He says, my son, I've gone through it. Well, Lord, give us grace to go through it. It was a cup of the cross. That was the ultimate shame. Just like some criminal. Just nailed up there. There was the cup of dying. And after death, according to scriptures, He went into hell. And He brought forth captivity captive. That was part of the whole cup. I'm glad I didn't face that. I'm glad none of you had to face that. But Jesus, He faced it. He took that cup. He knew what was in it. He knew what was going to be in that cup. And He prayed. And you'll notice what He says. It's very, very interesting. And we know the difference here. He says, if it be possible, my Father, Heavenly Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. To whom would it pass? Who else could drink it? There was no one. But in His humanity, you know how we pray. At least I know how I pray. And it's a lot of times, Lord, please, put it somewhere else. Let this cup get away from me, far, far away. I don't want this. I don't want to go through this. If we're real honest, you know what I'm talking about. No, I don't want to go through this. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now that's the tough part. But that's why we look to the blood. Because that's why His grace is so amazing. If we did it in our own humanity, it wouldn't work. We just couldn't be triumphant. But if we trust in the blood, it works. Believe me, friend, it works. As royal cupbearers, do you see Christ in the crisis of completing the will of God in your life? There's a lady up in Canada. I think she's maybe has a Mennonite background. And she's written several books, and we've gotten a hold of those books. And one of her books is entitled The Broken Way. This is Anne Voskamp. You may have heard about her. And in that, basically, she's stating that the brokenness that Christ allows in our life is only designed to bring forth abundance. Brokenness, abundance. And she has quite a story of coming out of abuse, too. And in that, there are some real deep readings there because the brokenness will bring forth abundance. We're not talking about fat wallets. We're talking about abundant life in Christ. We're talking about an abundance of compassion, an abundance of empathy to reach out and embrace others that are broken. I repeat, you're going to get tired of me saying this tonight, but we live in a broken world, folks. And if you haven't noticed that, just open your eyes and open your heart and look around you. And there's brokenness right here in this little valley. There's brokenness in Shoals. There's brokenness in southern Indiana. There's just brokenness everywhere. And somehow, Jesus gives us grace, and Jesus gives us a heart that's bigger, and through our own tribulation, through our own brokenness, Through our own brokenness, we find abundance, and in that abundance, we dare not hoard that, and we dare not be selfish with that, because that abundance is given to us so that we can embrace others that are broken. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place of fellowship. You see? This fellowship. The apostles were broken. They became broken bread. And through their brokenness, the church continued to spread, right? The early church fathers, and on our history goes. And we put up posters, and we should, about the persecuted church around the world. Folks, if you haven't been there, it's hard to understand what they're really going through. It's hard to understand the trials, the tribulations that they're really facing. But if in your own brokenness you allow God to help you to become abundant, then you can begin to reach out to others that are broken around you. And this broken way becomes a glorious way. But Jesus, when he mentioned about take up my cross and follow me, I don't think it was simply because we're going to dress different, because we have a reproach. That's partly entailed in that. But he was talking about allow yourself to be broken that you might embrace the brokenness of others. And statistics are staggering tonight. Once again, going back to this topic of abuse, it's staggering. It is incredible. We enter then into verse 42, the sixth cup. And he went away again the second time, perhaps mirroring the cups of the Passover meal. And he says, now, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it. And the thought there of drinking it was to drink all of it. It wasn't just a little sip. Now my wife, she came across this brew. Won't say what our kids called this brew, but you can probably halfway guess. And this was an herbal brew, and you know, we were down all tribes and we didn't have a whole lot. But she found then they were very reasonable, these herbs, and she put them together and she mixed it up. So she put a little honey in it, made sure she had honey so it would be palatable. And of course, the kids, it took a while for them to get used to it. But honest, when they grew up and they're going through college, they had never gone to the doctor. So it did work. Kept a lot of doctor bills. But there's a tendency, only wanted to drink just a little bit of it. So did I. But we got used to it. But she said, now drink all of it. Well, that's what Jesus did. He knew if he was going to drink it, it was all the way. And folks, consecration. Yes, the blood of Jesus washes our sins away. Yes, the blood of Jesus cleanses our heart from that Adamic nature. Yes, there's sanctification and holiness. I believe in it. But folks, consecration is, yes, Lord, I will drink all of it. Yes. Because he drank all of it, I can drink all of it. Because I'm not going to quit on that one person who's desperately needing someone to come alongside them and say, I love you and I'm with you and I'm going to help you and I embrace, I'm there, I want to be there and I'm going to help you find perhaps others, be safe. And I identify with your brokenness. Because they don't see any way out. They don't see any hope. Folks, it gets dark for people that are entrapped in this. It gets super dark. I mean, it's no wonder, like I said, our teenagers are taking their lives. It's no wonder. I mean, the abuse in public schools, the abuse in sorority and fraternity houses up here at IU, oh my. It goes well beyond crazy hazing, I promise you. The abuse is in, well, I've heard because they're not all Christians that work there at Hobby Lobby, I promise you.
And many of them are college students that come over and have a part-time job and just kind of work their way through, you know. And it's just, I knew it was there, but just to hear fresh reports, it's really, really, really shakes you. Brokenness. 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 Do you hear me? Broken hearts. They can laugh about it. They can make jokes about it. They can make fun of it. They can tell all about what they've done on the weekends. But inside, they are very broken. They are shattered. They are incredibly afraid of having any kind of permanent relationship in marriage. And don't even mention children. They're shattered. They don't know how to cope with it. Jesus said to us, as His believers, drink all of it. Because I drank all of it. Commitment to this Christian way is all or nothing. This is consecration. This is saying, if this cup may not pass away from me, if I'm the one that's supposed to stand next to this one that's broken, I will be with them. Very simple. If I'm the one to cry with them, I will cry with them. I will cry with them. If I'm the one that's supposed to be there to listen and listen and listen and listen and listen, I will listen. If I have to go deep in the things that are really dark, I will be trustworthy and not share it with anybody else. I will embrace. I will embrace the brokenness. Think of the cross in a new light, my friend. Think of the cross as the way of brokenness, and it was for Jesus. He was betrayed. He was abandoned. He was abused. Yeah, your name will be just kind of drawn through the mud. It might be, may not be. It doesn't make any difference. Jesus suffered far more than I'll ever suffer. But I embrace the brokenness. Because it'll bring forth abundance. Abundant grace. Abundant love. Abundant compassion. Oh, it's just a brand new world. It's the cup of consecration. And one day, royal cupbearers will share the cup at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Until I drink this cup, he says, with you, anew. Isn't that wonderful? Well, there's a final cup tonight. It's one you're very familiar with. Now, let's see. We've got 3, 5. I missed the cup of, this cup of commitment, consecration, excuse me. All right. And there's the final cup. This is one of our favorite cups. Hey, it's Valentine's Day, fellas. Don't forget. But this is the largest cup, and I chose this because it came from a place that's has kind of a bakery and also a little restaurant there, and we enjoyed having a meal once in a while in the capital there at San Martin's, they call it, St. Martin's. Of course, everything is a saint down there, so... But this is the cup of Psalm 23. What do you think that cup is? What do you think the cup of Psalm 23 is? And my cup runneth over. So when we're embracing the brokenness and embracing the darkness with a friend, a fellow Christian, someone broken out there in the world, He has promised us, hasn't He, in Psalm 23, You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup, continually in the Hebrew, saying, is running over. Just running over. He knows what you're going. He knows you're going to have that filling and refilling and infilling and refilling and infilling and refilling. He knows that. And He's just so willing to do that. And the more you are enlarged in your abundance, I really think your cup gets bigger. And He just pours in more. Now, we've seen the cup of compassion, the cup of contentment, the cup of cleansing, the cup of commitment, the cup of communion or crisis, and the cup of consecration. But this is the copious cup. Kind of a play on words there, but it's just full and overflowing. Now, we sing the song with the kiddos, don't we? My cup runneth over with joy. But I want you to consider this as that cup that God is continually filling so that you might continue to be His cup bearer and minister to others. When we become stale, we become stagnant, when we fail to minister, when we fail to serve, when we fail to give out, that ektos, when we fail to give out, then the entos, what's coming in, it indicates that it's become stagnant. Something stopped up. And God doesn't want it stopped up. But I promise you, when you ask God to help you to see the brokenness around you, things will begin to get unstopped. It may take some painful confession. That's okay. Confession hasn't hurt any of us. Aren't you glad God hasn't put that up on a big screen, all our confessions? Well, that would just be, that'd be depressing. But no, He says, freely, freely I forgive you. He says, freely I forgive you. Freely I want to give you grace. Freely I want to fill you. Freely I want you to be used, because you do need to continue to take up your cross and follow me. And if I read this right, Brother Edward, I think that's till the day we die. I don't think it's just the first couple years of our Christian walk. Do you, Brother Robert? Do you think that's just the first couple years of our, that we just take up our cross and fall? I think He meant it was for our whole life. And I believe that tonight, and I believe that I'm right on the mark that this is talking about embracing. Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Once in a while, if the ladies go up and hug another lady, sometimes our culture's a little different up here, but it doesn't hurt to truly physically embrace in the right way and show that you care and share a tear with them. Folks, if we're going to see Jesus someday, we're going to have to embrace brokenness that the cross symbolizes. And that's in that next door neighbor, that person at work. It's that person who we see day by day, or that person we see every Sunday. And we know they're going through a deep valley. And we don't have to pry. We don't have to go where we're not. They're not allowing us to go because they have that personal freedom to share or not to share. Never violate that. But if you will be a safe person for them, you will find now you're going to face brokenness perhaps as you've never known before in your life. Well, it never happened to me, Brother Lee. I'm not sure how I could help anyone. You just get out on your knees and start asking Jesus to help you to see brokenness. And I promise you, He will. And I promise you that out of that brokenness, you will see abundance. And I promise you that that will bring enlargement. And I promise you that He will continue to fill your cup and it will continue to flow over. But it's to bless others, not just yourself. Not just for you to have a special time at church. And I'm not against that. I'm thankful for every manifestation of the Holy Spirit. In our midst, we need more of it. But it's not just to bless you so that they know that I'm somebody special. No, no, no. It's my cup runneth over so that it also touches the lives of others.
You know, it's kind of like the manna, isn't it? If we could pick up all the overflowing water and keep it up in a big water tank so that when we run dry, we could just pull the cord and get some more water, we'd be pretty good, wouldn't we? That's not how it works. Manna came fresh every day. God wants to fill us every day. Now, I've already told my story about leukemia and how that several other specialists have said that it was my problem, which I still have it. It dropped 4,000 points, thank the Lord, over the last couple months. And I thank God for that. But my mind went, as I was preparing this message, to where would these heavy metals, you know, heavy metals are like mercury, lead, other metals that get into your body. Sometimes, like one specialist from Texas told me, if I worked around the cattle, he named off a insecticide, it would have been, yeah, for grubs. And I immediately knew what he was saying. That white liquid we used and we poured on the backs of that Rolex or whatever, Rulex. But he gave the other name for it, and I said, yeah, that's exactly what we used when I was a boy. Then they banned it. But it was very toxic. And he had ranchers down there in South Texas. He said, oh, you think your blood count is supposed to be basically normal at 10 or 12? And mine has been into the 20s and then jumped into the low 30s. Now it's back down in the 20s, and I'm continuing to go through this, work through it, you know. And he said, I've got ranchers down there that they're in the 200, they're up in the 200 range. So you add a couple zeros to that. And he's, you know, they're just like, how could they live? He said, well, you just keep treating it. And it's really, you can, it's amazing what the body, how the body, the immune system will respond. So he said, but you got to keep after it, which I have. I don't want to get up there in the 200s, that's for sure. But I got to thinking, you know, wherever we'd go up in the mountains, I mentioned to you this morning, we would always get a cup from the people. And most of the time, that cup was a clay cup. It was a piece of pottery, poorly fired. And come to find out, of course, with a lead glaze. And all the years we spent down there, 20 years almost, we've exposed ourselves to lead. These, you know, you've heard these stories. People go down vacation in Mexico and they get orange juice or some acidic thing, and some clay vessel looks so pretty, and they come home and they get sick. Well, this was not quite as fast, but I've just continued to be contaminated. And I'm thinking, our dear people down there, how much lead is in their systems? Why are they dying from this and that and so forth? Improper firing of their ceramic ware that they used for cups, the poor people did for years. Now they're just switching over to something different. They're finally realizing what was going on. Sad. Birth defects, on and on and on. But I think of that tonight, if I don't keep my vessel clean, you can pour in all the good, pure, distilled water, or purified water from the multiple filtered systems that they have, that reverse osmosis, etc. And it comes into that impure, basically not fired vessel that it should be, and it's contaminated. Does that sound familiar? Yes, there are those who will give the Word of God. There are those who will testify to being a Christian. There will be even mention about the blood, but something's not right in their spirit. They're narcissistic. They control. They manipulate people. And that vessel that God intended to be pure, to carry pure water to someone, is contaminated. The very gospel they're preaching has become
almost, in a sense, contaminated. Keep our vessel pure. And if you need to get back on the potter's wheel, do it. Let Him form you again, as Jeremiah mentioned. Let Him bring you. Let Him form you into the vessel He wants, and let Him fire it. So then, that that comes in as clean and pure from heaven above will flow out as clean and pure. I'm thankful I found out. I'm thankful there was people that cared about my physical. They cared about my brokenness. Today, I'm on my journey of healing. And it may happen. I may have my next blood test is right down to 10. Praise the Lord. Looking forward to it. But I know I'm heading the right direction. And I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But the most important thing tonight, friend, is spiritually that we will be the vessels God wants us to be. Royal cupbearers, keep your containers and vessels pure and your content pure. And don't ever believe that you have come to the point where you may never have to get back on the potter's wheel again and God would form a new vessel. It's only by the mercies of God I am here today. Only by His grace. And you as well. And friend, tonight, we have a responsibility to be cupbearers for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've made you. I've made you royal princes. I have made you priests and kings. He's made us royal cupbearers unto the least. To be content with what we ought to be content with. To be cleansed. Yes. To be committed to having that cup of fellowship with Jesus, that commitment, and his commitment as well. They're in the garden, and then to the cross, and His consecration, His second cup. And now we find that we are to be filled. And these cups, let them go with you, because there are those that need them. And they need the content that you have from these cups for them. And may there be a week ahead of us that's really so exciting, because when we allow God to do that in our life, there are just some very, very special blessings that happen to us. Praise the Lord. Out of brokenness comes abundance. And an abundance to embrace those that are broken. Recognize first anything that may be broken in your life. Don't deny it. God saves us and God sanctifies us. He's just getting started with us. Don't shy away from the Spirit showing you something broken, something that's not functioning right, something that may have happened and comes up. It's like, oh my, why do I feel this way? Why did I feel that coming up and stirring? What's going on here, Lord? And He's faithful to help us. And in that, we're embracing our own cross of brokenness. We're being really honest with ourselves, and we're being, as the term is nowadays, authentic, transparent with ourselves. And in that, God is fully pleased. He is fully pleased. Because the more we see how fragile we are, the more we see how complete He is. Praise the Lord. He's the only answer for us, folk. Glory to His name. Shall we stand tonight? To be royal cupbearers. Wow. What a mandate. Cup of, as again, these are so special. cup of compassion, the cup of contentment, the cup of cleansing, the cup of commitment and of crisis and consecration that brings us to that overflowing cup. Praise His name. Father, tonight we thank You for this time together in Your house, going deeper into that time that You spent with Your disciples the night before, and even later, as You said, as Peter was manifesting the sword, He said, "Up, put your sword up. I have a cup to drink." And he recognized he was going to drink all of it. Father, I don't know what that cup of consecration is for any one of us here tonight. But I do know that You have a cup in which we recognize that there's going to be some really tough things ahead if I embrace the brokenness of somebody else. There may be betrayal, there may be abandonment, there may be abuse against myself. But Lord, there is an abundance that comes forth out of that brokenness. Our names may be slandered, there may be gossiping, there may be destructive criticism. But Father, if we're embracing someone else's hurt, You put me there that I might be a filter, that I might be a vessel, that I might be used of You to give them that water that they need at this time, to give them hope. And in doing that, to pray with them and be a help to them to come out of the awful darkness that they are in. Father, help us to be a church that's reaching out, serving, reaching, embracing, being safe for that one that's broken, because we have acknowledged our own brokenness, because we've acknowledged our own needs, wherever that might be. And by Your grace, we look to the blood of Jesus tonight that cleanses us, that keeps us, that protects us, and that gives us that joy for that which is set before us. We, like You, may endure, and we might know that one day we're going to share the cup with You at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We praise You for that tonight, Father. It's a wonderful calling. It's a glorious calling. All of us can be cupbearers. We pray tonight that You will bless this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.